It's such an honor to be invited back here. You guys are like family, and I'm just so excited watching the journey of this church, watching kind of the changes that the Lord keeps leading you to make, and watching to see, oh, how are they going to do with this one? How are they going to do with this one? And I've just watched overall a consistent group of people willing to trust the Lord. And I got to tell you, from a fellow Christ follower who just loves the body of Christ, I just want to say thank you for trusting the Lord and submitting to leadership, because that's how the Lord works, is through his leaders. And so thank you for just being a great group of people and for trusting the Lord. I got to say, I love this theme this year, Embrace the Adventure. Love it. Illuminate was great too last year. This year, Embrace the Adventure, I've just been having a lot of fun thinking about it and studying about it and asking the Lord, what do you want me to say to the people this year? And I came across, as I was just researching people who are really into adventure, came across this guy named Eric Weinmeier. Now, Eric is kind of like the epitome of an adventurer. This guy is one of the few handfuls of people in the world that has climbed all the highest summits across the globe. He's done all of it. He does marathons every year, the 26.2-mile Incan Trail through up to Machu Picchu. He does rock climbing. He does all of these outrageously amazing, outlandish things. He took a group of blind children from Tibet up Everest. I mean, this guy is just an adventure, thrill-seeking guy. Here's the deal. When Eric was 13 years old, he went blind. So he does all of this stuff blind. You may ask yourself, what in the world would a blind person want to climb the tallest mountain, let alone all of them? Why would they do that? And you know, I agree with that. I don't know, but he says when he turned 13, that rare eye disease took his sight. That was his greatest fear, was that the world would push him to the sidelines and say, you no longer are, you know, adequate. You no longer have a place. You have to sit on the sidelines. You can't even watch. You just have to be. And he was terrified that that was the life he was destined to live. And through a series of events, he just said, you know what? No. I will not sit on the sidelines. I'm going to embrace this adventure. I can't change this, but I'm going to live, and I'm going to take people with me. And he's written books. He's done great things. He started this nonprofit called, one of his books is called this too, called No Barriers. And listen to their statement from No Barriers. It says this: what's in you is greater than what's in your way. Wow. For the Christ follower, what's in you is greater than what's in your way. There are no barriers. It's only what you will let, what you allow to be a barrier. Because I don't know about you, but the Bible I read says that the same power that raised Christ from the dead is in me. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. So what is in me and what is in you, if you've accepted the free gift of salvation, it's greater than anything that's in your way. And so I would consider myself an adventurous person, but I am not the thrill-seeking type. Just to be real, anything that would require my body to, like, move fast, like either out of an airplane or walking or anything, just I just don't want to do it. That's not fun for me at all. I'm kind of a slow poke. My husband was the guy up here. He would say amen. I'm slow. I just don't want to go fast. But in fact, I actually recently had to take the walk of shame down from the top of a water slide at the Dells. My 7-year-old and 9-year-old convinced me that I wanted to go into a dark tunnel tube slide with water, head first on a mat. So I was like, okay, you know what? I'm just going to walk to the top. See, carrying this huge mat, I get, you know, all the way to the top, and they're like, all right, let's go. And I just didn't do it. I didn't want to do it. And I was like, guys, hey, have at it. I just don't like it. And so there I go with this huge mat all the way down, and these like 5-year-olds are looking at me like, and I'm like, excuse me, all the way down. I don't like that stuff at all, and none of that stuff. But I am adventurous. I'm an adventurous person, but I'm more adventurous in the way that I think and what I believe about God. I don't know about you guys, but I'm just foolish enough to believe what he says. Who he says he is, who he says I am, what he says I can have, do, be, and say. And I just find it so fun to take a risk, because a risk with God isn't really a risk. It's just like an adventure. And I find that fun. I just love to think about the belief in just what's possible. Recently, I saw on Facebook, my cousin made a post. She's not one of those people to bare her soul, but she posted last fall just a picture of herself just like this, just like that. And she just said, would you please pray for me? I don't know where to turn. I'm just so frustrated with life. I need the Lord to move. I need him to move, and I need an answer now. And I thought, uh-oh, for her, like, okay, Lord, whatever. What had happened was her husband was a starving artist who he had felt like this was a career for him. And they, for years, had been following this dream to be an artist. And they were renting a house that the owner of the house died, and the house was for sale. They had to be out at the end of that week, had nowhere to go, had no money, didn't even know how she was going to feed her kids. And cried out to the Lord, God, I can't do it anymore. Like, at what point do you give up on what, God, we felt like this was you, but maybe we missed you. Maybe we missed it. God, help us. The very next day, as you saw, my cousin's husband had a video that went viral. And now it has over 100 million views. You may have seen it. It's the guy singing the national anthem, painting the picture. That's my cousin and their husband. That's Joe. It's like, I'm in awe. Like, there's top secret stuff going on that I can't even say, but like really, really famous talk show host people are like, they're in negotiations because he's got an agent now to be on the show. And I'm telling you guys, that very next day after that Facebook post, the girl who didn't know how she was going to feed her children had more money in her account from commissioned artwork and guest appearances than most of us make 2-family combined income in a year, like two working adults the next day. So here's the deal. Does God always do it like that? No. But here's my point today. Sometimes he does. Sometimes he does. Wow. So the belief in what's possible, really, what's impossible for God? Really, what's impossible for him? And so I love to be adventurous and thinking about that and watching the fun journey of my cousin and her husband, and just thinking, oh my goodness. I mean, just the other day, he was at a house in Southern California of the political figure who collects art. Now, for an artist, they're like, can I show you my art collection? He's like, sure. He's in this huge home with all this art, and they said, we're now going to start collecting you. And they said, see, here's that piece right here, which that's the least of what he can do. His photo for an artist is hanging right next to an Andy Warhol painting in these people's house, which for art people, anybody, my cousin's freaking out. He's like, oh, like, how does this happen? I'll tell you how that happens. God does that. Only God can do that. And he doesn't always, but sometimes he does. He sometimes does. And so I'm just crazy enough to believe if he can do that for them, he can do stuff for me. And so I'm going to believe that he can, and I'm going to believe that he will. And because of that mindset, I've gotten to go on some pretty cool adventures. And I believe that if you would be willing to just kind of up the belief a little bit, get the hopes up a little bit, you might be able to embrace some adventures that you didn't see coming. You thought were like for other people who were way more spiritual than you. So I just love to believe in what's possible. And I haven't always been this way. I got to tell you, I've discovered that most people are kind of like how I used to be, where we feel God calling us in a direction or to embrace an adventure or to consider adoption or fostering or whatever the case, a financial risk, whatever it may be. And we start to consider all the things that could go wrong, how much it could cost us, how we could fail, we could look foolish, our reputation, all the things. And it just begins. It's like if I had a huge scale up here, it starts going boom, until we get stuck. And we talk ourselves out of embracing an adventure because the risk just got too weighty. It got too big. And most people get stuck there going, I can't. What if? But I've learned a different way. And it's changed my life. And actually, a moment like this where I had to kind of decide what to do with that has started an adventure that I'm still living today. And I want to share it with you because I've realized people don't do this. People get stuck there. But I found a different way. 15 years ago, almost to the day, almost to this day, the Lord asked me to take what I thought was a big risk. The Lord asked me to contact a former classmate, tell him some specific things that the Lord said, which were like, some of you are teasing me about last year's message. You're like, I'm going to hide my toes. You kind of stepped on them a little bit. You know, like, sent me with a message that was so specific. And some of it was a little bit on the warning type of side. And then some of it was so, like, you don't even know how special you are to God type of thing. But the Lord said, call this guy who's basically a stranger to me. I knew his name and that's it. Tell him these specific things and in a sense kind of lead him back to the Lord. Now up to that point, every person that I had attempted to talk to about what had happened to this rebellious kid who had now got radically saved, they had all rejected me. And they didn't understand what had happened to me. They were like, so you're like a nun? Are you like what? And I'm like, no, I'm a pastor. It's totally different. And they just didn't understand. They didn't get it, and they rejected me. They wanted nothing to do, and I lost all my friends. And now God is asking me to go to a stranger and say crazy stuff to him. And I thought, ooh, God, I don't know. And through a series of events, God confirmed that that was, in fact, him, and he did, in fact, want me to go have that conversation. And so I remember being in my parents' room. I just washed my hair, so I had a big towel on top of my head. I had a big fuzzy robe on, and I had a huge cordless phone that, like, you pull up the antenna, you know? So I was like, oh, you pull it up, and I start to dial and get to the last number, and I'm like, no. And I began to talk myself out of it. God, what if he says no? Because I was planning just to meet him for coffee. Hey, I have some things I believe the Lord wants me to tell you. And who is this? Like, Bobby, oh, that one girl, whatever happened to you? You know, like, what if he says no to meeting with me? What if worse? What if he meets with me and decides I'm crazy? And then what if he spreads it to the whole town? It's a town this size. If you guys want to spread to the area that somebody in here is crazy, everybody will know. Like, you can accomplish that. You really can. And so I was like, I don't know if I can handle that again in this area. I don't know if I can be that girl again here, God. And I just began to like, oh, God, it feels too risky. I don't want to do it. And then a question dropped into my spirit that changed my life. Ready? So, God, what if he says no? All of a sudden, this thought said, what if he says yes? What if he says yes? What if he says yes to meeting you for coffee? What if he says yes to the invitation to follow the Lord? And what if you get to be a part of taking the hand of a human being and handing it to the Lord? What if, you know, up to this point, you just get to hand him all your guilt and your shame and give him the best worship that you can? What if you get to hand him a human? What if he says yes? And I got to tell you, it tipped the scale for me, and all of a sudden, that risk was worth it. And I thought, you know what? That's worth it. So I called him up. He met me for coffee. He accepted the Lord's message to him. He got saved, and then some years later, he decided to ask me a question and had to wonder, I wonder if she'll say yes. and I married him. Here's my point in telling you that. What if they say yes? What if it works? What if you don't fail? What if you succeed? What if God has more in store than you can even talk yourself into because you're not God and you cannot see the future? When I pictured the guy God told me to call, it was a seventh grade scrawny little boy because that's who was I knew in my head. There was no agenda. I had no clue this was my future husband. And I almost talked myself out of it because of embracing that adventure was so risky. There was a lot at stake. What if I didn't do that? What if it works? What if they say yes? What if you do fall in love with those kids and they let you keep them? Yeah? What if? Wow. I got to tell you, if you will really grab a hold of that and let that sink into your spirit, you are going to find it easier to embrace the adventure. You will find yourself being, that's my norm now. And I'm not an optimist. I tend to be the logic like, well, we got to consider all this stuff. You know, I'm not a natural optimist. But when it comes to when, like, there's an opportunity, once I've weighed this and gone, okay, we could fail. We could miserably fail. This might not work. Guess what? It might work. And it's led to some great things, like the Zero Project, you know, like that could epically fail. I don't know. It's just an idea in my head. You know, something sounds good in your head and then you say it and you're like, oh, that was dumb. You know, like you just don't know. What if it works? And it has. Here's the good news. For every risk that you think you're taking, you see over and over in the Bible, be strong and courageous. It's usually because they're about God saying, hey, do this thing. And they're like, every time he says, be strong and courageous, it's always followed by the promise of his presence. Oh, what if I fail? What if this? What if my heart gets broken? What if? That's a possibility, and you should think about that. But guess what? God will be with you. He will be with you. But guess what? It might work, and he'll still be with you. You just don't know. We're not God, right? Can we all agree? We're not God? We don't know. So why not believe? Why not try? Why not say he did that for her, he did that for them? Why? Maybe he's got something for me. So I'm still living out an adventure that started 15 years ago when I changed the question that I asked myself. When risk and adventure presented itself. What if it works? What if it actually goes well? So now that's part of my core. And having this mindset, like I said, has led to some interesting places, the Zero Project, but also just recently some family adventures. Last year, my two kids, I have a 7-9-year-old and a husband, we decided to enter a contest for Universal Studios. And it was, you had to submit pictures proving why your family, it was to go to the opening of the King Kong Skull Island exhibit, Universal. Submit photos why your family is ready to go on an epic adventure. So we bought some costumes, we dressed up, we ran around town, and we took pictures. I'd just like to show a couple of these photos to you that we took. Yeah, isn't that fun? So that's my husband, my two little bananas, and me. I'm the damsel in distress. You know, that's us taking care of... That's how we'll get ready to meet King Kong. We'll just, yeah, look at that. Was so fun. Getting my kids, like, they didn't get it, so they were like, doing all this stuff. So it was so fun. We did not win, you know? Sometimes you try stuff, and I don't understand because we totally should have won. Duh, do you see that? I don't know who was in charge of that. They totally blew that one, but... you know, my kids, they got their hopes up a little bit and we didn't win. But here's the deal. Sometimes the adventure is the win. Sometimes the adventure is the win because my kids are going to be old someday, like really old. They're going to have that picture of themselves and their father. Come on, think about that for a second. And they are going to be thinking about reuniting with us in heaven someday and thinking, wow, am I a blessed kid? Wow, was I a blessed child. The adventures my family took me on. Sometimes the adventure is the win. And on the way home, we stopped to get ice cream, and my daughter, she's not the shy one. She was like, oh, you know what? We're kind of like the adventurer family, aren't we? And we were like, yes, we are. And so now that's what we call ourselves, the adventurer family, and we look for opportunities to just kind of go on little adventures, hop in the car, go to Munising, and look at waterfalls for the day. You know, just make life an adventure. And that's been fun to have her say that about our family. We're the adventurer family. That's a win. There's the contest, whatever. That's a win. Another time this past year, instead of traditional Christmas presents, we decided that we want to invest in our family in a new way, and God opened up a door. We found a great deal, and we took our little kids. We surprised them and took them on a cruise. And we were in awe that we got to take a risk of taking a 7 and 9-year-old on a cruise, thinking this may totally bomb. This may be the worst investment ever, but it actually turned out really good. And they had this like night, this game show night on the cruise, almost like Nickelodeon, where there's it's a huge set design, huge team, whatever, and somebody's going to win. And we heard that was entertainment coming up. We began to tell our kids, oh, you know what? That room only holds 1,000 people. Somebody's going to win. Why not us? And they're like, really? You think we could win that? We're like, you bet we can win that. We're the Huberts. And they're like, yeah. We can, okay, do you want to get up there? Do you want to be, yeah, we do. Okay, so we went to the game show, and we're like, okay, guys, this is what you got to do. They're going to, the host is going to be scanning that crowd. We got to make ourselves as big. We got to make, as soon as he's looking in our direction, you go nuts. You go wild. I was like, Aaron, he's got it. He's crazy. He will draw attention. But I'm like, Riley and Parker, you just got to go crazy. And the last person to get on they didn't do it by family, they did it by person. The last person to make the show was my little 7-year-old Parker, but he was standing on the chair next to me. So they're like, ah, you. So then he's like, oh, hops down. He has to go answer a trivia question just to get on the show, but he hops down and he's down there. They're like, oh, I think he's too small. Like, and the crowd's like, no, yeah. So they're looking back to the booth, okay. And so Parker comes up on stage. This is us watching. We're like, oh my gosh. The job that they gave him was so nerve-wracking. I honestly don't know that I could have done it. He had to memorize the order of colors. Burm, 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 burm. People in boxes had to get in these orders, touch the boxes together, and if they're right, he had to get it at the right time. If he hit the buzzer too soon, so he had to remember he had to do all this stuff, and immediately I was regretted that I encouraged him to risk. For real. So I'm freaking out. Like, Aaron's just like, he's doing it. He's like, oh my gosh. And I'm a nervous wreck. I'm like, we invested to make this experience memorable, and this is going to be it. This is the memory. He got in front of 1,000 people and failed. Like, this is it. This is the worst. Like, this is going to scar him for life. He's the shy kid. Like, he walked down the aisle at my sister's wedding, color drained, because I'm like, I've ruined him. Like, oh, and I started to get nervous. Not only did Parker lead his team of adults to victory, he won the whole entire game show. He won the whole game show. He won $150. And he was just like, he couldn't believe it. And we eventually at the end got to go back up to him and we're like, bro, you did it. And he's like, and I'm like, I go, Parker, I cannot believe you went up there in front of all those. I can't believe you did that. I'm like freaking out. And he goes, why wouldn't I do that? And I'm like, great point. You know, here's the deal. Our attitude about adventure is contagious. The reason that Parker went up there and won is because we told him he could. That kid, on his own, is very shy. Very shy. And likewise, I had to be careful when I said, I can't believe. He's like, why wouldn't I do that? Oop, zip. You're right, Parker. You're right. And that was about me. I didn't want him to fail. I didn't want him to have that feeling of all eyes on him, fail, let the team down. Oh, that was about me, protecting my own heart, my own self. But he went up there because our spirit of adventure, it's contagious. So You ever had a friend that just got so excited about something, they were going to do, or they just really believed this thing, and you're like, statistically, you're looking at it going, and you're just like, you feel for her, you're like, you know, this might not work out, right? Like, this actually might not, and what do we say to them? I just hope you're going to be okay. I don't want you to get your, what do we say, hopes up. Here's what I want to say to you today. Get your hopes up. Get them way up. Get your belief way up. Faith way up. The only thing I see in the Word of God that we're supposed to set down and leave behind is sin and foolishness. So if you're hanging on to some of that, drop it. Hope, get it way up. Doesn't always work out, but you want to know what? Sometimes it does. Take a risk. He might have failed. Guess what? He won. Sometimes it works. Get your hopes way up and then trust God. I just so truly believe that God is honored when we believe him, and I believe that God honors those who believe him. Last night, Bonnie was in this fun little car. Wasn't that awesome? That was so cute. We have a really tall friend with us. We were like, can you please go sit in there just so we can laugh at you? She'd be so cute all in there. But you said something. You talked about how we just want to take the wheel, and you said, God is looking for people who will trust him. And I say, yes, and another way to say that is God is looking for people who will believe him. And then I actually canned the Bible illustration I had because I like yours better. Luke chapter 5. I want to show you something that the Lord's been teaching me. When Jesus told Peter to go fishing, and Peter kind of had like a little pushback, like, we've been doing this all day, but then he says this, but on the account of your word. Church, please hear me. I am seeing over and over in Scripture, the Lord is thrilled when we take him at his word, when we believe him. When he says you can be free, he really means it. And we go, yeah, but people who will take him at his word. I've always wondered, why did God go so overboard with the fish? Like, I know he was saying, like, oh, I want to, you know, honor the trust, but two boats sinking, like, to the point where it was an emergency. You want to know what happened? I'm going to tell you, God doesn't parent like we do. Peter said, but on the account of your word, and Jesus said, what did you say? You're gonna believe what I said? Ba-boom! Every fish in this sea, get in this boat. Every fish, I want every single fish. You hop in that boat right now. This kid, did you hear my kid? They believed what I said. On the account of my word, oh, it just blessed the heart of Jesus. You see it in the promised land, the two spies, they believed that God, but the other ones, oh, there's too many obstacles. Boom, 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 boom. And the other two, the people caught. Our view of adventure is contagious. The people caught that view. But the two who believed God because he said they could have it, they got to be old and have part of that promise because they honored God by believing him, so God honored them. Oh, we need to get our belief, our hope, our faith way up. There's a lot of things God has already said in his word that we can have, do, be, and say. And we just, based on how we live, we don't believe him. We don't want to say that out loud because that's like, yes, I do. No, we don't. God doesn't parent like we do. If our kids were to say, like if they had all they needed and we gave them even a little extra, and then they were still to go, could I have more? We would be like, you little one. There are starving children in Africa. Like, oh, you. God doesn't parent like we do. Be content, yes. Check your motives, yes. God is not offended, nor afraid, nor you spoiled little brat if you go, God, I'm totally content. I don't need more. But would you bless me even more so I can be a blessing to others? God, would you cause this thing to succeed? I don't need it for me. I'm okay. God, if you don't do another thing, I'm fine. You don't have to babysit me. You don't have to like, oh, Bobby, you're, no, God, I'm a big girl. But would you do it anyway? Would you cause this to work out? Would you bring in the money to finish our building project? Still need a couple hundred thousand. This is a little scary. We're at the tail end. God, we'll be fine. We trust you, but would you do it? We believe you're going to. God's not offended when we ask for more. God, I don't need you to because I know I'll be healed in heaven, but would you heal me this side of eternity? I know you can. And sometimes you do, so I'm going to ask. I'm going to ask you to do it, and I'm going to believe that you will, and I'm going to be okay if you don't. Yeah. Huh. He doesn't always, but sometimes he does. What if? What if he did heal you? Oh, my word. Oh, I'm just in awe of God when he does stuff like that. I'm not shocked because I expect him to do that. He's true to his word, and he says he does that. And he's no respecter of persons, and I've seen him do it for other people. So what if he does? I'm just in awe of him. I've learned that the greatest enemy of adventure is your comfort zone. A lot of people think it's fear. It's not. I'm going to tell you, you actually have more of a chance of taking a step forward if you're afraid, because no one wants to stay afraid. That's uncomfortable. No one wants to stay filled with anxiety and depressed and afraid or whatever. You have more of a chance at taking a risk and embracing adventure than you do if you're in your comfort zone. You ever been comfortable late at night at a friend's house and it's blizzarding outside? You're like, ugh. You don't want to get up and move because you're comfortable. Like, why move? I'm warm. It's going to be cold. Ugh. Just in case, because I know God could, I always lay there and I go, teleport. And then I look around, I'm like, ugh. I don't have the gift, so, I mean, just in case, because what if he does? You know, wouldn't that be cool if I was like, ah, I seriously might. Like, I say I'm not really not shocked by God, I'm in awe, but that, I would probably wet myself. Like, I just would be like, oh my gosh! Like, no, but just in case, I just do it every time. Teleport! So, comfort zone. Because it's like, I'm comfortable, I'm content, why risk? I'm content, why ask for more? Isn't that kind of like arrogant, or like, I don't want to give the impression that I'm not like appreciative of all God's done. Why would I, you know? Those kind of things hold us back and keep us, like Bonnie said, average. The Lord has called my husband and I to read a book, and I was holding back because in my head I was worried about what people would think. Oh, she needs to do this so that people think she's blah, 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 blah. And truthfully, I was like, no, I don't need that. Like, I don't need that to fulfill some kind of need in myself. I think I'm awesome. You know, like, I don't need that to feel good or to feel accomplished or anything. I just really feel like the Lord's leading us to do that. And my comfort zone of, I'm content, I don't need anything else, was holding me back from taking a risk. Risk, right? Is there even such a thing as a risk with God? But it was like, I don't need that. Well, what if God needs me to do that? What if it's not about me at all? What if God wants to do something, again, that's so much greater than I can see in the moment? Because he's smart. He's God. And he's a God of more than enough. And he doesn't always, but sometimes he does. So instead, we've chosen, we're going to write this book in such a way that if God wants to take it as big as he wants, he can. And if he doesn't, if it's just for our church and our kids, awesome. We've been obedient, and it was a fun process. Your comfort zone. The greatest enemy of embracing the adventure is your comfort zone. You determine if your greatest adventure is ahead of you or behind you. If you are not willing to risk, I can tell you right now, it's behind you. It's already happened. Think of your whole life and whatever that big thing was, that was it. That's okay. That's all right. I believe God has more. If you're not willing to be uncomfortable, it's behind you. It's already happened. If you have to know every little thing before you take a step, it's already happened. It's in the past. But if you are willing to risk, if you are willing to be uncomfortable, if you are willing to take God at his word and say, I trust you, you know, like he said to Abraham, I want you to go to the land, blah, blah. Well, where? Which one? Oh, the land that I will show you. When? When I show you. Oh, thanks, God. We're no different than Abraham that way. Some of us need way too many details about the simplest things before we do anything. It's like, just take a step. God will correct. He's big. He can correct it if we do the wrong thing. Or, you know, there's, this kind of message can be taken so out of balance because it's like freedom to, sure, God. No, some of you need to stop embracing the adventure and listen to the people who've been trying to, like, tell you to, like, settle down. You know what I'm saying? So it's like this kind of thing could be so taken. But you hear me. Like, as a whole, we tend to talk ourselves out. We tend to live way down at a lower level than the Lord intended because we see who we are rather than who he is. We see all that we're not rather than who he is. Whoop. And that's not who he says we are. So we're looking through the wrong lenses anyway. We need to exchange our filter, our goggles, for the word of God and what he says we are because it's way better. Way more free, way more like, well, the pressure's off because awesome. He says, you know, I can see clearly I'm going to fail, therefore I don't have to be perfect. He says I am perfect in his eyes. There's nothing I can do. Awesome. I can just be and grow and learn. God is really good, guys. If you're willing to risk, if you're willing to be uncomfortable, your greatest adventure is still ahead. If you're willing to get your hopes up, get your beliefs up, get your faith up, your greatest adventure is still yet to come. That's exciting. That's exciting. Imagine what could come out of this room. Imagine what God could do if a room like this catches that vision and believes it. Some of you are awakening up to that thought right now. What if you succeed? What if you risk and it pays off? What if your heart does not get broken? What if through the process it gets healed? He's big enough. He can handle it. And if it does get broken, he's with you. He's with you. We have a promise of his presence. I don't know what adventure he's asking you to embrace, but I do know you have a promise of his presence. That's what I do know. I want to ask the worship team to come up, and I want to let you know one final victory in the way that the Lord has recently done something that, here's the deal, I'm just going to bear it all to you. You could decide to judge me in this moment. You could decide tons of things about me. Well, she's like a name it, claim it girl. I'm not. I do not believe we can boss God around with our faith. I do not believe that you can just decide anything you want to have happen, have such a faith, and like force God into healing you. I do believe he can. I do believe he might. He will, either on this side of eternity or the other. There's a promise. But sometimes he does it on this side, so why not ask him? Why not believe he's going to and be okay if he doesn't? I do not believe you can boss God around with your big faith, but I do believe we need to have big faith. I do believe truly, like the word says, sometimes we have not because we ask not. Why not ask? And be a big girl that if he says no, you don't fall apart and pout and make God pay. So it's the silent treatment. Recently, I told you guys that we're in the tail end of a building project, and whenever you guys are set, you guys can just begin to play. We're in the tail end of, for us, what feels like a very weighty, weighty project, because I know when it comes to the Lord, this is a teeny little thing, but for us, a couple $1 million is like small town USA. We're like, oh, you know, so far beyond what we ever thought when we said, well, to be in the ministry, you just, this stuff is not what you're like, we just want to love people and like lead them to Jesus, and now we're like managing huge projects. And anyway, so our entire church is in a season where we are sacrificing. It's just the nature of the beast. We are giving our all. Some of us could not possibly give another ounce. We've got a man here with us on the team, sold his prized possession, his motorcycle, gave it up to give all of the money to the building because he believes in God's vision. That's the kind of people we're doing life with, and that's how we're all doing it. it's all of us. But I gotta tell you, this last fall, one of the checks that my husband and I wrote felt like a risky move. It was a bigger amount than we would have had faith to do a couple years ago. I'll just be real. And as I wrote the check, I had this thought, this is enough money in this one check to pay for my dream vacation. It was just a thought. It wasn't a pouty thing and like, it was just a thought. And then before I knew it, a question fell out of my mouth. And I just said, God, would you give me a vacation in return? And I went, because again, we think how we parent. And I thought, what an arrogant brat am I? Like, I'm supposed to give with no strings attached. God, I'm sorry. And I began to apologize. And then I really felt him speaking back to me. He said, no, I see your heart. That's not strings attached. I know that was your honor to give. I know your heart. And we began this kind of like dialogue in my heart, because here's the deal. He's the shepherd, we're the sheep, and the sheep can learn his voice. You need to know that. You can learn the voice of God, and it doesn't have to be weird. Don't get weird if you learn the voice of God. You can be a normal person and hear the voice of God. So, some of you don't know that. You know, it's true. I just felt him say, do you believe I'll do that for you? And I said, do you believe I could do that for you? I said, absolutely. I wouldn't have asked if I... And he said, okay, do you believe I will do that for you? And I said, yes, God, if this is you, if I'm not just talking to myself right now, like, yes, I believe you'll do that. And he said, okay, part of the reason I'm going to do what you ask is because you believe I will. Because you believe that I'll do it, what I say I'll do. And I was like, wow, that was weird, okay. And then this another contest came up. I would show you a picture, but I'm not going to, because it was a swimsuit contest. And it was for curvier girls, and I've got some guys here that I don't want to see that. So I read the requirements, and I thought, if I'm what they're looking for, I have a chance here. Sent it in. They even responded saying, love your picture. Gave me hope that I was in the running. And it was a dream vacation, a place that used to be owned by a famous author, and I thought, oh my gosh, I'm writing a book. I could go there and sit at this desk, because Ian Fleming wrote all the James Bond novels, and I thought I could sit at a desk that a classic novel. This belief that God had said I'm going to win a trip just began to rise in my spirit, and I thought, for sure, I'm going to win that. So I just began to tell my friends, look at this thing I did, isn't that weird, but I feel like I'm going to win it. I didn't tell them the whole, like, I feel like God said part, because I don't do that. When I know God said is if something happens or not. That's when I know. And until then, I don't tell people that. So I was like, I'm going to win. And my friends were like, I believe you, but like, are you going to be okay? Because you're like acting like you're really going to win. Like, are you going to be okay? I don't want you to get your hopes up. I'm like, I'll be totally fine, but I won this, man. I won this. I know I won this, because I really believed that the Lord said he was going to do that for me. Really believed it. And last week, I found out I did not win. And man, I was a little sad, and it wasn't because I didn't win the trip. It was because I was like, I missed God. Like, I really felt like that was him. I really, so now, man, you question everything. I'm way off, like, and I was just down about it. That same day, my husband came into my office, tears, and he whispering, because all around us are people working their butts off, equally if not more deserving. And he said, you're never going to believe what just happened. I said, what? He said, I just got a call from a pastor friend of ours we haven't talked to in a while. And he said, Convoy of Hope was gifted some cruises to give away to pastors to refresh them. And they gave them to me and said, give it to pastor and his wife that you feel either desperately need a vacation or just deserve it. They're just kicking butt where they're at. And you, he said to my husband, you and Bobby are the first two I thought of. How would you like to go to Alaska on an Alaskan cruise in June? And my husband went, what? Here's the deal. I tell you that to say, does God always do crazy stuff like that? No. Sometimes he does. Sometimes he does. And here's the deal. You can take this thing one of two ways. You can start to feel sorry for yourself. Why doesn't God ever do anything like that for me? I wish he would do that for me. Here's the deal. I'm going to love him, serve him, obey him, whether he ever does a thing like that for me or not. And here's the deal. Some of you are walking through such difficult stuff. Your reward in heaven is greater than any reward I will ever get on earth. I can guarantee you that. Heaven is a reward. I think we lose sight of that. But I tell you all that to say this, like, I think we just are kind of like afraid to ask God for things, afraid to believe for things, because what if I get hurt? What if I fail? What if it doesn't work? What if this, what if it works? What if you win? What if he says yes? What if there's more at stake in whatever adventure he's inviting you to than you can see because you're just a human? So I want everybody to stand up. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to sing one last song together. And I want to ask you guys to allow the Lord to let that hope lift within your heart, that belief of the God of the impossible. He's God. He can and he does do whatever he wants. And if you're a willing participant, he can and he just may take you on an adventure that's greater than you could ever imagine. So let's sing to him. Cry out to him. Some of you need to be bold enough to ask him for what you need in this moment. You've been holding back, afraid to bother him. He's God. He may say no, but just handle it. What if he says yes? Let's go ahead and sing. That we would be people who count the costs, that we do weigh the risks, that so we don't become delusional and just think, oh, whatever, God, we really do kind of imagine that it might not work out, and then remind ourselves that if that's the case, you'll be with us, God. But help us not to get stuck there. Help us to be people who believe in what's possible. You are the God who makes all things possible. You give us strength, God. You don't. It doesn't always work out in the way we prefer, but God, sometimes it does. God, give us the faith to believe and to hear your voice and to be daring to follow you and embrace adventure, to work hard, to risk our heart, risk our finances. If you're in it and you're leading and you're telling us to, God, there's not a risk that's too great. And God, we're thankful for the reminder of your presence. Help us to truly get our hopes up and place them in your hands. God, if there's people in here, if we need to drop sin and foolishness, help us to have the courage to do that. God, whatever we need in this moment, help us, God. And as always, we'll be so careful to give you all the glory. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thanks for having me come again, you guys. I'll invite Bonnie back up here. But for real, love you guys. Please take that to heart. The Lord loves you and wants to lead you to some exciting places.
Give a round of applause.